It's Wednesday, September 13th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to Eckler's Edge, presented by Toyota, a part of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It's a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that, obviously, is Los Angeles Chargers running back, Austin Eckler. Austin, what's going on, buddy?
What a do. Week one is in the books, man. It is in the books. We are officially back, and, you know, the NFL, you know, ceases to amaze me. You know, like it always is like bringing some jam-packed action, some crazy stuff, like some things that like, no, that are sad, some things that are happy. Obviously, we lost, so I think that's sad. Dolphins fans, they think that's, you know, great for them. But all the emotions and all of it wrapped up into it is why it makes it so great. And so I cannot be happier to be doing this show now, kind of recapping it all and jumping into week two.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, it was a wild week one. It was actually a pretty low scoring week one. I saw some stat about how there was such a few, like the fewest amount of touchdowns, other than your game, which we'll talk about here in a second. That's like the one outlier. The rest of them were kind of slow. And I mean, obviously, we're coming off the Rodgers story, which has captivated the news cycle. It's just, I mean, what a depressing start to the Jets season. So yeah, week one was absolutely wild. But we do want to get into Dolphins Chargers here, which was basically like the classic game on the slate here, right? Unfortunately, like you said, you guys did not pull out the win. Dolphins 36, Chargers 34. We're not going to dive into like the Charger. This podcast is not going to be Chargers today, right? We're not going to do this every single week, but this was a pretty impactful game. And notably, I wanted to highlight here, Austin, thank God I was able to get in your DMs before, you know, before kickoff, buddy, because you you absolutely brought it. 16 carries, 117 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. In fact, Austin, and I know this, watching you rip off big runs, a 55-yard run you had there, I knew this had to mean something to you because I remember you talking at times last year, despite having this great fantasy season, that you weren't really happy with what was going on in the run game. And, you know, us fantasy folks and NFL folks in general have been talking all offseason about, oh, the Chargers' new offense is going to get up Justin Herbert's average depth of target and all about the pass game. But man, you guys came out in week one of the NFL season. I saw this stat from Ben Solak, does a great job over at The Ringer. The Los Angeles Chargers in week one had a top 10 rushing offensive success rate of the last decade. So, hey, little shout out
hey, let's
to the
go.
Boys in week one.
Heck yeah, man. So, I mean, all training camp, all offseason, right? We've been seeing this number 30, and they're not talking about Austin Eckler. They're talking about our rushing rank in the NFL last year was 30th in the league. And so during our preseason games, we got to run the ball. And I think we had like a record performance in preseason too. I think we had like two games with like 250 yards of rushing. And then the other one was like 100 and something. So it kind of carried over as far as that mindset. It's like, hey, we got to be able to run the ball. And you kind of saw that play itself out, you know, versus Miami and the track meet that we had going on with our offense and Tyreek Hill and Tua.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That guy is incredible. Oh my God. Shout out to Tyreek Hill. That boy is, he's built different. He's definitely built different, but man, yeah, it was interesting. You know, just seeing kind of just, you know, how it's going to be playing out in our offense where it's like, hey, if we can run the ball, you know, maybe Herb's average doesn't have to go up as much. Maybe, you know, I feel like this season is always like this hype, you know, around, you know, the new coaches, the new staff, and you expect these things. But until you get into the weeds, you really don't know. But no, it was exciting to get back out there. Yeah, obviously we lost and that freaking sucks. But as far as where we're at offensively, I'm like, okay, like we keep playing like this, we're going to give ourselves a chance here at the end. So now it's just about being consistent and yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Good building block for sure. I mean, you're not going to go up against a dude who's going to put up 215 yards and two touchdowns on the other side of the field through the air. You're not going to have that every single week. So I do think it's a good offensive building block for sure. And, you know, it was funny because going into this last week, we talked about how it doesn't always click in week one, you know, and there's some of these offensive changes. And I'm not saying that everything was perfect with the Chargers, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't always click in week one. You know, you look at the Ravens, they're bringing in a new offense, like a full offensive philosophy overhaul. It doesn't quite, they get the win, but it, you know, the offense is not quite there in week one, right? But for you guys, despite that patience we preached, you know, you were like, don't be coming at me if we don't have a big week one performance out of Austin Eckler. Well, no need for that. You know, 24 points in half PPR and fantasy. So I don't think anybody's upset with you. But you know, we're sitting here talking about this run game. I also think we do have to give a shout out to Josh Kelly too. I mean, Josh Kelly, 16 carries, 91 yards and a touchdown. You know, this is a guy, Austin, that we talked about. I remember talking about last year, right before he kind of suffered this unfortunate injury and went on IR and missed a few games. But we were starting to say that, hey, you've wanted this like second fiddle in the ground game for a while, somebody take the load off. And you know, Kelly was having his moments to start the year. And I know, look, I'm telling you for sure, people in fantasy right now, because you know, you're on the injury report with this ankle. I don't know if you want to give any status update about yourself. It's only Tuesday as we're recording this, so long way to go until game day. But people are definitely, you know, keeping an eye on Josh Kelly from a waiver wire perspective right now.
Yeah. You know, I've been vocal about this, you know, for the past few years, like being able to have someone where it's like they can carry the load as well. And there's not much of a drop off. Right. And it's like, hey, we trust this guy in the game. It's so crucial to just the health of both of us. And this, we play the long game, right? We're trying, it's not a perfect science where it's like, oh, you got someone who's good now, you guys aren't going to get hurt. Obviously this is football, you know, anyone, you know, as we saw with you know, Aaron, you know, this is football. Everyone, yeah, you know, is going to be in the same boat as far as injuries. Everyone can get hurt. Doesn't matter who you are, what position you play. Like it's football. So, you know, it's unfortunate. It's the worst part of the game, but it also is part of the game and you have to be able to adjust. But yeah, Josh has been solid all preseason. Like I said, we were like leading some record in preseason. It might've been the most ever rushing yards in a preseason from a preseason with three games anyway. I don't know. But Josh was ripping runs. And so, yeah, that's exactly what you want to see. But I mean, I'm just in general, I'm like, man, if we can rip runs like this, you might just want to pick him up and just in general, even if it's not the so-called starter, right? Like if we're going to be able to, you know, get this attack get a run game going, then it could be like almost like a, where you had Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, where it was like, both of these guys are very viable to be on the field and actually go out there and make plays. So yeah, I'm excited for us going forward.
I would argue that there is very few more valuable guys to have on your bench in fantasy than someone who, obviously, again, the contingent value. If Austin misses games, everybody, like, you ain't got to be a genius to, you don't need me to come on this podcast and tell you, yeah, you should probably play Josh Kelly because he'd be the starting running back. But if what Austin is alluding to, and again, I remember having this conversation early last year that, hey, Josh might be carving out a role to the point that if you need, you know, during the bye week hell, right? When it's going to be tough finding guys, you know, maybe you throw him out there. Maybe he has that standalone value. Someone that has contingent value in the backup running back spot, but also your potential, like, what the heck flex? Throw this guy out there. That's standalone value. Those are probably the most valuable players to have in fantasy. So I'll tell you what, I'm looking at like rest of season rankings right now, Austin, and you know, I'm keeping notes on this conversation thinking like, yeah, I need to be having Josh Kelly maybe in an area where, yeah, he should be on rosters at this point.
Yeah. And also, I think, you know, Josh Kelly was kind of like a spotlight now because he obviously had 91 yards and a touchdown, which is, I mean, even if that was, you know, as a starter, those are good stat lines. But like, are there other types of Josh Kelly players out there that you should be picking up? You know, like let's broaden this conversation to, you know, the rest of the league. Like, is there a guy that, you know, has been getting some predominant play? And I think there is out there as well. Someone says, you know, Tyler Algier, and this he's a guy that I was going to, you know, spotlight here in a second. Cause I think he's the guy that, you know, he had a great season last year. Like, this man ran for like 5 yards a carry, you know, had, you know, over 1,000 yards and, you know, like 5 touchdowns. And it's like that guy. Now he's obviously has Bijan Robinson in the same backfield, but it reminds me of the old days with me and Melvin Gordon, where it was like Melvin Gordon was a starter for like 2 years. And then I was like kind of like the backup split guy, but you still want me on the team because I would be catching balls and still making an impact. Whereas like, yeah, I'm not going to get the full volume that Melvin might. You still might want Melvin, you know, above me. And back then he was getting the goal line reps as well. But I was like, shoot, Austin Eckler's still, you know, a viable pick here. And so just seeing that play out across the league kind of should give you some foresight of like, okay, these are scenarios that play out. And then if the starter does get hurt, then guess what? Boom, you're in a perfect position for now that person to get more more burn. So, yeah, I think it's a great point.
I love that because Tyler Allgeier is a great way to transition into kind of the guys we want to highlight from coming out of week one. And I think Allgeier is a good one for you to bring up because he perfectly encapsulates what we're just talking about here with that. And this is the thing, ranking guys coming into the season. I know I'm sitting down, I'm thinking, okay, we have no idea. I mean, if there's one coach, we don't have a damn clue what he's going to do. It's Atlanta Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. We have no idea what's going to go on with that. I mean, shoot, they might just draft a wide receiver eighth overall and throw him one ball in week one. That might happen. Hypothetically, that's a thing that could happen. But with this running back usage, we have no idea coming into the season. But then you see it in week one, and we see exactly what you're talking about here. Like, Tyler Allgeier had 54.2% of the snaps, Bijan Robinson on the field for 64.6%. So obviously there are some times when these guys are going to be on the field together. Allgeier actually had more rush attempts, 15 rush attempts to 10 for Bijan Robinson. He ran 9 routes compared to 17 for Bijan Robinson, who's probably going to be more, he's going to be more involved in the pass game. But these games where you can project Atlanta to hold kind of a lead, right? And they'll get a lot of rushing work. And they have a pretty easy schedule. I think by strength of schedule coming into the year, like projected win totals, they had one of the easiest schedules. So there's going to be a lot of these opportunities. Yeah. At this point, Allgeier has to jump up into a range where, yes, of course, if anything, you know, knock on wood happened to Bijan Robinson, he would be a great pick. But this dude was awesome in his rookie year. He had 1,000 yards.
Yeah. And he was a rookie. So it's like, okay, this guy's going to get another year under his belt. And so, you know, I was a little skeptical, you know, of the Bijan Robinson, but there was all this hype, you know, and it's kind of cloudy. Like, what about, you know, Tyler Allgeier? Like, what is he thinking? Like, what the heck? You know, but they had like, you know, they had other running backs they were cycling in. So it kind of makes sense that kind of their philosophy that they had going on over there was like they had a few running backs that they had going. So, let's bring another one in, right? And they'll probably, you know, transition one of those guys out. You know, Cordero is like kind of like this flex guy who kind of plays all over the place, but it seems like, okay, now they got two like solidified.
Did you see they listed him on the depth chart as Joker? Was just like, it just is a J next to it, and he changed his profile picture to the Joker from the bat, like the Hugh.
I did
Joker
see that.
Batman,
this man, this man's wild, man. He just came in, returner, receiver, running back, just player, like just playmaker. Yeah, shout out to Cordero, man. He's a beast.
Yeah, has me blocked on Twitter. I don't know what I did, but
sometimes people in the media world, it takes one clip to be taken out of context, or you know, you rubbed us the wrong way on the wrong day, and then you're blocked. I definitely have some people blocked as well, so don't take it personal. It's just like, hey, you know what? I'm good. Like, it was a bad mood. It seemed toxic to me, and now you're no longer gonna pop up on my stuff.
Yo, let me tell you what, buddy, I probably deserved it. Okay. I'm sure it was when I was like 20, you know, 25 or something years old, like a total jackass. And I'm positive I deserved it. I'll wear the block with honor there. But all right, so you want to highlight Tyler Allgeier. That's a great guy for people. Like, if you drafted him, you might get a sneaky starter out of it. And again, the contingent value is there. I'll go a little more chalk here with the guy I want to highlight, and actually pretty good transition because again, the Los Angeles Chargers led the NFL in week one with a 66.7% rushing success rate. You led it by a country mile. The number two team was the Dallas Cowboys. And I want to highlight Tony Pollard here. You know, we know he's a guy who's playing on the franchise tag. We know that the Cowboys, they, to put it kindly, kicked the shit out of the Giants, to put it lightly. So, but you don't win a defensive heavy game like that if you're not able to have a really good ground game, you know, a sustaining ground attack. And for Tony Pollard, this is a player who came into this year with some questions about him, right? We've never seen him carry a full workload. We've only ever seen him as we've seen games, and obviously this is just one game, but we have seen instances where he's played in relief of Ezekiel Elliott, but we've never seen him be the guy. This is the game with him being the guy here. And I mean, shoot, again, the numbers bear it out there. Number two in rushing success rate. He helped move the offense. And he did some things that some people had questions about. Like, is he going to be able to run between the tackles? Is he going to get goal line carries? Well, check and check based on, it's just one game. But I thought it was a huge, impressive performance for Tony Pollard, to the point that, again, when you're thinking of rest of season fantasy rankings, this is a guy who went in the mid to late second round. If we are redrafting today, just based on what we saw in week one, I think he would be a top 5 running back off the board. Wow. I would have him. I would probably have him behind CMC and you, between or behind Nick Chubb, I think. But you know, then at like 4 or 5 there, I think you got to start thinking about Tony Pollard.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason they're keeping around. And they, you know, were able to, you know, decide that they wanted to let Zeke go out, and not bring him back. And so, I agree. I think, you know, from looking at what he did last year, you know, you caught his sauce as a running back. I'm like, yeah, this guy can play. He can play. He definitely could play. And, you know, you saw just kind of explosive runs that this guy was having, and just ripping it on passes, ripping it on runs. And yeah. And so this was the first time, obviously, yeah, he's in that spot. And now he's got a chance. And so as long as he's healthy, man, he's going to continue. I feel like he's going to continue to have success too. That's a great highlight. And some other guys I think could highlight too, but which is expected. I actually text him after this yesterday. He posted like one of his highlights, Chris McCaffrey. Man, that guy's also just a freaking stud. Just a stud, man. Just, you know, ripping runs. And that offense is insane. Like, our insane offense is good too, but theirs is like right there, you know. And as far as matching up across, man, it's that's someone also I thought we should highlight too, because I mean, shoot, like this guy, yeah, gets it done.
He's the king, man. And they're the epitome of a selfless offense too. Like, that you can tell, just sometimes you could tell watching teams who has buy-in, right? Brandon Ayuk, I mean, my dude Brandon Ayuk, we'll get to your fantasy team in a second, but yeah, that was a highlight for you in week one.
Oh yeah,
Brandon Ayuk out there dropping like blocks deep downfield, you know.
Oh yeah,
Sprinting. Boom. Yeah, like,
yeah, touchdown blocks.
He sees McCaffrey make like one guy miss in the hole, and he's taken off to like set the block downfield. Ray McLeod, shout out to him, another wide receiver laying a block downfield. You know this. I watch a lot of receiver tape, even the running plays, and you know this, I'm sure. We're not going to call anybody out, but sometimes receivers and DBs, they'll do a little like, you know,
they're over there just like, then it comes their way and they're like, oh, let me start playing again. You know, like, come on, you guys, you know. Yeah. I want some guys with a motor. Like, give me a motor. Like, I want a motor guy. Like, you're freaking, it don't matter if the play's way over there, you're blocking this guy until the flipping whistle blows. But, you know, there's unwritten rules of like, you know, different sports and things like that. And I feel like that's not necessarily an unwritten rule, but it's like kind of one of those things that kind of is general, where it's like, maybe if you're on the backside of a run and you're a corner that's getting blocked by a receiver, you guys are kind of just like standing there like, all right, if it comes our way, then we'll try. But for the most part, yeah, we're just kind of hanging out this play. But love to see the good hustle from the teammates, and then love to see Christian out there balling out, man.
Yeah, absolutely balling out. I mean, yeah, if we're going to highlight running backs, we got to highlight him. But let's actually transition off the Brandon Ayuk thing into your fantasy team, buddy, because let's give a little update. It was a wild week one in the Eckler Invitational. Both Austin and I started the year off right. 1-0, yes. Both with a victory, but specifically you, pal, I'm too sexy for this league, which is Austin's team. I mean, yo, I posted the screenshot on Twitter, and I intentionally left JJ's team off this because it was not safe for work. You know,
right?
I don't want to. I don't want, you know, kids' eyeballs falling out when they see the absolute train wreck that happened on side of it. But Austin Eckler scores the most points in the Eckler's Edge Invitational here in week one, 114 points, 114.92 points, beat your projection by quite a bit. And Austin, the beautiful thing about this is that you score the most points in the league, and you had two players combined for 0.8 points. We'll get to those guys in a second, DeAndre Swift and Dallas Goedert, but 37 points from the Dallas defense and 28.9 from my dude Brandon Ayuk launches you to a pretty massive week one victory.
Yeah, you know, had some outliers this week. And, you know, look, in a 16-person league, it's not like you're going to have guys that are consistently across the board. 14-person league.
Don't hype yourself up that much, okay? You're sizing it up.
Sorry, I got four other leagues that are 16 people. But in this small 14-person league, you can't expect everyone to have like consistency across the board. Like, you're going to have some guys that are like, you know, this is like a backup. Maybe they, you know, get in there. Hopefully they give me a point or two. Like, that's good. But yeah, I was a little disappointed by some of these guys. And I was like, what the, like, what is going on? Like, I had expectations, obviously, for Goddard, for DeAndre Swift as well. He was a guy that put up, you know, 0.8. And so I was like, well, I got to dive into these situations a little bit more. Like, you know, I don't have a lot of time around to be diving in, but I was definitely expecting a little bit more from the, you know, the Philly offense over there. But yeah, still came through with Herbert, Brandon Ayuk, and Dallas. Like, obviously the Dallas game was insane. And they scored two touchdowns, which is, I mean, if a defense does that, they're popping off for sure in points. But yeah, the Dallas defense looks like a real contender to actually be like a real thing instead of just like a 4 or 5 point kind of, you know, defense like they typically are. So, you know, I think the A-minus draft on mine was pretty good. You know, the draft grade still holds up. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I'd say so. The Dallas Cowboys defense scored 37 points. The only other player to score more in week one was Tyreek Hill, who again put up 215 yards against the LA Chargers in week one. But let's talk about this Eagles offense here for a second, just because you brought it up. Little bit different with these two guys, where one with Dallas Goedert, he puts up 0 points. You know, stuff happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. That seems like an outlier. I wouldn't bank on Goddard having, it's just tough when you eat the zero in week one, you're going to like, as a fantasy player, you're going to freak out about it. Okay. Cause it's right. 0 points. Obviously Drake London, another guy that was on JJ's team, had 0 points. That's tough to eat, but with Goddard, he's an established guy. He'll be fine. The Swift thing though, look, this is one of those running back committees that coming into the year, we had questions about, and what do they look like? You know, what are the Eagles? The Eagles, how are they going to use these guys? They say goodbye to Miles Sanders, who was awesome for them last year. They bring in Rashad Penny, and they bring in DeAndre Swift to join the room with Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott. Rashad Penny is a healthy scratch. Doesn't even play in week one. DeAndre Swift did play in week one. Hard to notice it because, again, the three touches or whatever. Yeah, Swift plays on 16 snaps. He gets one rush attempt, and he gets two targets. So not a lot going on there for DeAndre Swift. Meanwhile, the holdover, Kenny Gainwell, 14. He carried the ball 14 times. So, mm-hmm. I mean, very impressive. He was involved in the passing game, 4 targets for 29 yards. So I don't know. He's looking like a guy that's a big winner coming out of week one.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, out of that roster, you know, that lineup, like you said, it was a committee, and it seems like, you know, the coaches put it on him for this game. Like, hey, you know, Gainwell, like, you're a guy, like, here's your opportunity. And so I'm not giving up on my guy yet.
No,
it's way too early. I'm not long overreacting. Season. You know, we'll see how it kind of plays out. But I'm still leaning on DeAndre to pull through. Maybe move him down to the bench a little bit because I got, you know, Juju that I can put in that flex spot. And, you know, he didn't have the biggest game, but, you know, still is getting some, you know, I would say more guaranteed reps. You know, so some things I can move around. Like, you know, like Juju had 7 targets. You know, he caught 4 times for 33 yards, whereas, I mean, is something, but then easily, you know, you could get one of these situations where all of a sudden Swift's in the goal line and now runs it in for a touchdown, and then it's like, dang, why didn't I start it? So it's like these bubble players is like, okay, well, who's the matchup? Who are they playing? You know, that plays a part into it, and then just kind of the situation, like, what's the injury report looking like? You know, coming out of the game, you know, is there any talks about anything? So things I'll be looking at for this Eagles defense or Eagles offense.
Yeah, we're going to keep our eye on DeAndre Swift because, again, he's new to the team. Kenny Gainwell's the holdover there. Sometimes you see that. Like, and look, I will say Gainwell at this point, he should be rostered in all leagues. He's a potential flex or low-end running back too, because one thing that has been consistently said outside of Eagles camp, both from the coaching staff and beat reporters, they trust this guy. And we talk about all the time how trust is so important, especially at that running back position. If you're going to pass protect, anything like that, be an outlet receiver. So he's definitely a guy I got my eye on. Let's talk about my team here real quick. Because converse, yeah. different strategies.
Hey, we are both 1-0. Maybe that's a, you know, a question we should ask. Who do you think is going to lose their winning streak first?
Well, you play Josh Norris from Underdog Fantasy in week two.
I do.
He's looking to avoid an 0-2 start. so tough scene there. He's got your teammate Keenan Allen in his lineup. I'm actually taking on JJ, who you just destroyed last week. JJ, unfortunately, his team is in a little bit of trouble right now, right?
What was his draft score? Because it couldn't have been above a C-minus, because C-minus is like the worst you can get, right? Right.
I'll pull it up here real quick. Okay, yeah. Okay, it just shows me mine. I know what mine was. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, you can get D's and F's? Oh, I didn't know you can get D's and F's.
He got a D. Wow.
He got a D? Yeah.
He got a D. Lindsey Rhodes, who I beat in week one, got a D minus. So hey, maybe the draft grades are vindicated here.
Okay. But who are we playing this week? So you're playing a D draft grade. Who am I playing this week? What is that draft?
You're playing
grade?
Josh, a D plus. Yo, draft grades are vindicated.
We'll see if our those draft play grades through.
Back. Our draft grades back. That's the question. Right. But again, yeah. So for me in week one, just to follow up on the defense stuff. This is something we talked about last week where you drafted a defense high, like Dallas Cowboys. You're going to be playing them guys every single week. And, you know, not to be disrespectful to Zach Wilson, but he is the guy who's going to be going, you know, the backup quarterback for the Jets. He'll be going against the Cowboys in week two. Good luck, buddy. That's all I'll say about that.
Freaking Cowboys, man. I think we got him in week six. Got to have a plan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that'll be fresh off your bye week, though. At least there's that. You'll be nice and rested before you face those guys. Point is here. I picked up the Green Bay defense before kickoff, right? I mentioned that was going to be my strategy, was streaming these defenses. They got 15 points, one touchdown, four sacks, and an interception. So reminder, there's two ways to skin the cat here, right? You can draft a defense like the Dallas Cowboys who are going to, you know, be really good, or you can kind of play the waiver wire and like, all right, again, Justin Fields is a guy who takes a lot of sacks. They turn the ball over in Chicago. Maybe we look at a defense like that. And so that worked out for me in week one.
I like it because I think it opens up a spot for you, right? You know, whereas you can get another skill player, you can get another, you know, quarterback, you know, you can get everything else and then kind of just play it week to week. You didn't draft any defense, right? You had no defense on your roster?
No defense on my roster, yeah. So yeah. It was just an empty spot, carried like an upside player. So I don't know, maybe some defensive matchups that you might want to think about in week number two here. You know, the Bears are going against the Bucks. They got to go on the road to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay had a pretty decent performance against Kirk Cousins in week one. So that's someone you could think about. Hey, your Chargers, not a great defensive performance in week one, but you go against the Tennessee Titans in week two. Ryan Tannehill, rough performance in week one, three interceptions, no touchdowns, not a lot of completions. And dude, if Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack want to bounce back in week two, they can watch that Tennessee Titans offensive line, because that'll give them some pretty good opportunities there. So, you know, maybe those, if you are streaming defenses, those are a couple ones to consider here.
Yes, absolutely. I love that strat. I don't think I have enough time to commit to that. So if you're in there in the weeds, you know, definitely something that you could play on.
Apparently I have all the time in the world here.
Hey man, you are the expert here, right? We lean on Matt. I talk to, you know, people about my fantasy show, like, oh yeah, I got a fantasy show. Like, yeah, well, oh, we know Matt, like Matt's a legend. Like, so you definitely have been putting in the work and have been getting respect out there. So shout out to Matt, man. Shout out to Matt for putting in the work for us all.
You know what? It's better than having a real job. if the NFL, for whatever reason, went away, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I'd be like, I'd have to go do like manual labor or something, like go work in the mines, you know.
Here, there you go. There you go. Hey, you would find something to do, man. But hey, look, we're glad that you have fantasy football, because, you know, you do a good job with what you got. So appreciate you, man.
Well, hey, I appreciate you. You're pretty good at this whole fantasy football thing, too. You win in week one and also on the field, pal. So yeah, we hope you're out there in week two, week three, week four, week five, all the weeks, man. You know, of course. So let's move into another segment here, our mailbag segment. People sent in some great submissions to the AskAustin@yahoosports.com mailbag. We asked you all for your best Sunday setup, because I want to give a shout out here to YouTube TV. They crushed it in week one. The multiple screens, you know, the options with being able to have the Sunday ticket set up. I've never had Sunday ticket before, you know, any sort of thing like that. But, you know, I've got my three screens here. I've got the main TV, which was the four games. I got the one TV, which is Red Zone, and then one game I want to highlight here on the individual screen. So it was awesome. Shout out to YouTube TV. And the people sent in a lot of shots of their, you know, multi-screen setup, starting with @People's Choice 31. sent in their great setup where they had three TVs and an all black little couch type setup here.
Okay, yeah, this is intense. What you're missing the green glow behind the TV. Like, kind of has like this aura of like, this is the one, you know, like there's some small TVs on the side. I like it. They got the whole setup. I got like, what is that? They got, looks like the old PlayStation, like the first PlayStation down there in the bottom right. Okay. This is like a true gaming setup here.
Yeah. I mean, it's great for football. Obviously they're a big Eagles fan. They got a bunch of Eagles stuff here as well.
The
green light,
the Eagle. Yeah. Yeah. I see it. Nice. Look like some, okay.
That's a good setup. I'll give that one a solid B. If we're grading setups here, I'll give that one a solid B.
Wow, a B?
Oh, well, only because look at the next one here. This one comes in from at Dana Kitau 86. And this one's this got six screens. this literally looks like Austin, as a good NFL player, you've never been in a sports book. So there is that. You've never set foot inside a sports book in your life. I have, not when I was working for NFL Network, because that would be very, very much against the rules. But since then, and maybe before then, I've been in a sports book before. And it looks a lot like this, right? With like this looks all like of
a
the
copy
TVs.
And paste of TVs. Like, you just have a bunch of TVs. Like, that's almost like sensory overload. Like, what are you watching? You know? Okay. Yeah, I like it. I like the TV collab.
I'll give this one a B plus, not a full A.
Wow.
Only because, like you said, all of these screens are so close to each other. In my personal opinion, like how I've got it up here, I need a little bit of separation between these TVs, because otherwise, my brain is going to melt out of my ears with like trying to take in all that information at once.
I think the other one's better, actually. I would rank it above. I like the big focal point.
Yeah.
And then the TV's on the side, you know? So if like something crazy happens and you have like the multiple screens on the side, but then you have like your game that you're excited to watch in the middle, it's kind of like a bang. And they did it well with the green lights around it. So, you know, I'm gonna have to disagree. And it's a curved TV. Can we get a curved TV with the green light? Like, man. But anyway, all right, what else we got in here?
All right, I'll take that criticism there. Next one up here comes in from at MLuco3. This has got the good separation between the TVs. They've got one big TV and a side TV. They've got the YouTube set up where you can split. You can watch multiple games like the simulcast or whatever. So you could have maybe the red zone on one TV and you can have the multiple games set up on the other. This one, I'm gonna go ahead and give this one an A minus. It's simple. It's classic. But again, the ability to have one smaller TV and one bigger one, it's going to prevent you from that sensory overload.
Yeah, you know, this one also gets kudos from me because they actually took the time to at least, you know, tidy up the place where they took the picture, when the other two pictures, there's a little bit of clutter. So y'all with the clutter, it's Sunday. Let's clean up the house a little bit. Let's get ready to watch the football, but come on. So this one gets kudos for being neat.
And our last one here comes in from at Joel D. Van 68. My living room, they said, my living room, red zone on the big TV, the two available early starts on the one above. Look, this one, this I like because it's not flashy, okay? You know, the other ones, they had some big ass TVs. These ones are a little smaller. Look, not everybody's, you know, not everybody's got it like that, right? Where you've guys got the big, like three big TVs. I mean, the one a couple of submissions ago, their TV budget must be a little extreme. So you look, it's not the most flashy, but this is effective. Okay. I think maybe you can move a little closer to the screens. I don't know about you, Austin. My vision sucks. So, but hey, you got the laptop too. Fantasy teams up on the laptop.
Is it that your vision sucks, or is it that you want to get that into it? Like, you know, if you ever play like video games and like, you can't sit way back. Like, you got to be like right up in there, you know, like you're in here, like you're getting the details, like you see it. And so when I watch TV, like I'm on a PC all the time too now. So it's like right in front of my face. And so that's kind of how I like watch TV and stuff too now. Maybe it's not a good thing, but yeah.
It's definitely not a good thing.
Well, hey, I'll worry about that later. But yeah, no, I like it. They got the three TV set up. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's commitment. If you got more than one TV that you're watching for football, then it's like, yeah, you are a fan. You are a true fan. And thank you also for being neat and tidy. You know, maybe that should be the next, you know, mailbag. How neat is your house right now? Take a picture. We want to see it because we're going to rate it.
I'm kind of done seeing people's houses. I shared mine too, so people can find that, like my setup. I posted on Twitter when I asked for the questions and all that. So, it's important to keep the thing straightened up. All right, that's nice. I will say this last note on the whole thing. I actually stand up, Austin. That's my thing. When I, and even if it's not a game that like I'm invested in, like last night, we're taping this on Tuesday. Last night, watching Monday Night Football, at the end of it in overtime, I couldn't care less about like the Bills or Jets. Neither one of them are my team or whatever. But I get like I got to stand up. I can't sit down. Like I got to stand up and kind of pace around a little bit. So the big moments for me, it's not like getting close to the screen. It's getting a little like. You know, I get antsy, okay, so I can't sit down.
Yeah. So look, I mean, you are, like, that's why, that makes you a legend, man. Like, that's why Matt is different. It doesn't matter who's on the dang screen, he's just invested. You know, like, you are into it, like, it doesn't matter. You are just watching these players, you're locked in, like, you're just, you have a feeling that just pulling you out, that you can't sit down, you can't stand to not be on your feet, because if something crazy happens, you need to be ready. Like, dude, were you going crazy after, like, the punt return for the game winner?
I'm not like a super emotional watcher of football, but just more like, oh my, it's one of those things. It's like, oh my God, because
because
it's not sometimes I can't even get so, I'm a weird person. Like I get dialed in and excited for the winning team, but almost I'm like, Bills, bro. I mean, what? How can you allow this to happen? Where, I mean, the entire thing, you know, we love Josh Allen. We've had him on the show. Big Josh Allen fan. But, like, you know, you can't be throwing three interceptions in that moment. Just have a normal game. This team is devastated by this big injury. Have a normal game and get the hell out of there and move on to week two. But then from the punt return perspective, like, how can this end like this? How can this end like this? Also, I'm a professional, man. I had to run up here to the command center, which is what I'm calling my office now. I had to run up here to the command center and tape a reaction for that. Like I had to put myself, I mean, poor freaking Colin is talking to me at like midnight, you know? So I'm like, hey buddy, we got to get this on the pod. We're working, man. You know, all hours of the day. So yeah, I gotta try to keep my composure, but I do have to stand up or otherwise I'm going to get too antsy.
Yeah. And look, this is why we love, Colin said, Yahoo Fantasy After Dark. I like it. That's the next show. You guys got your own show after the After Dark show. It's the NFL, man. Like, this is why we love it. This is why it's, you know, so popular. This is why it continues to grow year after year, man, because it's crazy stuff happens. Now, you don't even have to be watching your team, but Monday night game's on. People are watching that, you know, at the bar. People are watching at restaurants. People are watching it at home. Like, and then you have crazy stuff like that happen and people come back. People keep coming back. Like, what's going to happen next? So, good stuff.
Yeah, people are at baby showers watching it on the phone, like, hope nobody notices me, that type of thing. People love football. All right. So for next week's Ask Austin mailbag, we're looking for your week one trades that we can grade. Send us any major moves that you've made this week, and Austin and I will grade them with week two and hindsight on next week's pod. So, hey, if you make a trade because you're freaking out about your team in week one and week two, actually, you traded away DeAndre Swift and he scored two touchdowns in week two. We'll be able to not laugh at you, but maybe learn a lesson coming out of that. We're also happy to look at any suggested trades you're thinking about and grade those as well. That's what we're here for, a little trade action. So again, the Ask Austin mailbag is AskAustin@yahoosports.com, or you can share those with us on Twitter, X, whatever we're supposed to call it, at our accounts, at Austin Eckler or at @MattHarmon_BYB. So again, week one trades. Send us those ones that you make heading here into week two. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap this show up with some week two bold predictions. All right, Austin, since we are teaming up this season with the first ever Toyota Grand Highlander, the perfect vehicle for making new memories, we're going to create some memories of our own in this segment we're calling Future Snapshots. Make me a bold prediction, Austin. Who is going to have a memorable performance this weekend?
I think memorable performance. I'm looking at this Bills and Raiders game.
Oh.
And you might think I'm going with something on the Bills, but I'm actually getting a bounce back game from my guy who was getting stuffed all day, Josh Jacobs, who's going to go for over 75 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns.
All right. No, listen, I like 2 touchdowns. I'll tell you what, man, the Jets, not a lot of good things to say about what happened to the Jets on Monday night. Again, despite the fact that they won because, you know, they lost Aaron Rodgers. But one of the highlights was Breece Hall back for the Jets, ripping off huge runs. I think he probably houses that one run if he's 100% healthy. So that was obviously against the Bills. So that makes your bold prediction make a little bit of sense there. I will go with a bold prediction here. Lamar Jackson throws 3 touchdowns and runs in a touchdown in week 2.
Wow.
In Cincinnati.
Double exclamation point bold. He's going to have 4 touchdowns.
4 touchdowns. The 3 passing touchdowns here. You know, he didn't throw any touchdowns in week 1, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. People are like concerned about Lamar now. It's like, ah, you see, you knuckleheads in the media, you overhype Lamar again because he's same old, you know, new offensive coordinator. He's still running back playing. I'm still getting tweets about how he's a running back playing quarterback. It's like, you idiots, go outside. Like, give me a freaking break. How disrespectful to somebody who's more athletic than you could ever be in your dreams. But anyways,
okay, it's getting personal here.
Yeah, let's get personal. Lamar Jackson, I think this passing offense is going to come together. They had a great performance in week 1 from Zay Flowers, their rookie receiver. That guy had 60% of the first read targets last week. I mean, unbelievable. Like, insane stuff. He was unbelievable in week 1. Yeah, crazy for his debut. I think wheels up for Zay Flowers. I think Lamar will go along with it this time. Odell Beckham had a big catch, drew a bunch of pass interferences. I think it's kind of fluky not throwing touchdowns in week 1. So I think he gets a big performance here in week 2.
I can respect that.
And honestly, he just didn't throw any of those touchdowns because he was on Lindsey Rhodes' team in week 1 and she was facing me in fantasy. So Lamar is doing me a solid.
Yeah, and you got into his DMs, didn't you? And you're like, hey, you know, I need you to, you know, wait till next week to start popping off, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I've got that kind of relationship with Lamar. And I mean, just if that's what as we learn on this show, that is what players definitely love is when you can get in the DMs and tell them what you need to have happen. Yes. All right. There we go. See, we're making memories here every day on Eckler's Edge. Those are our future snapshots. Thanks again to Toyota and the first ever Grand Highlander. All right, Austin, that's going to do it, man. Packed show here. Ton of like actionable fantasy takeaways for people to hear on this show. I'm excited to grade some trades next week as well.
Yes, as am I. As am I. I'm actually looking to do, I've never traded in fantasy football. Never. So I get my eyes on maybe some few options, depending on how, you know, some things kind of play out here in my team in this next week. But I'm also looking forward to holding on to the winning streak between, Matt and I's team too. So, you know, I'm gonna hold up my A- draft grade, but no, absolutely looking forward to week 2 and, it's going to be a great one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. Hopefully, you're able to get past this ankle thing so you can play for my fantasy team, bro. I mean, I need. Hey, Austin, I need you. Okay.
I know. I need Austin.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And Austin, so do all the Austin fantasy teams. So do the Chargers. I know. I'll do my best.
I'm just giving you crap, man. Of course, we wish you well, man. Good luck out there. We're excited to talk in week 3. After heading into week 3 to all of you. And again, we want to grade those trades, man. So make sure you send those into the email. Make sure you tweet them to me or Austin. I am very excited for that. Tomorrow on the show, it's Thursday. You know what that means. Dalton Del Don is back for another Stat Nerd Thursday, where we give you one stat you need to know. I mean, you need to know these stats to help you inform your decision-making heading into week 2. Until then, we're out.